Come now, all you mangy dogs. Swab the decks and hoist the sails. The guns on board be needing some proper manning. Pieces of eight and a fine wench on your arm, if your work be not too shoddy. Careful not to flounder too badly, though, or you may have to dance the hempen jig as we see you to Davy Jones. But Jeffy, my boy, on with the show.
Well, shiver me timbers. To our listeners from across all regions of the planet, welcome once again aboard the Robin Hood, flagship to the world's one and only cooperatively inspired charity podcast network, WPRPN. Live streaming today from under strangely smoggy spring Asian skies, I'm your host, as always, the ship's chief communications officer, Jaffe Ryder. If all of China's radioactive dust doesn't kill us, the odd little flaky guest or two likely won't have much long-term impact either. Aye, still no idea yet whether we'll be sailing smoothly along through this week's show, Pirate Radio Podcasts Episode 61, or find ourselves quietly going down in flames somewhere out along Bob Dylan's Highway 61. Things once again have pretty much come down to the wire as we wait to hear back from the guest we'd booked this week, the real Randy Ross. We'd planned to discuss with the self-described American constitutionalist, blogger, freedom activist, and pro-liberty troll anything ranging from common law to the straw man legal fallacy and pretty much everything in between. Here we are, once again, down on the docks of Skullport Harbor, and the real Randy Ross, unfortunately, it looks like is not going to be able to make it this week. He just called in via Facebook a few minutes ago, informing us that, well, he's up to his ass in alligators, is what it sounds like, so all kinds of legal issues, having to contend and juggle those. So a lot of brush fires to put out. Sounds like some health matters he's having to contend with. And I think even just on his Facebook the other day, I saw something about some automotive issues. So not a problem, though. It looks like a few people here have stepped up to the plate. New faces and old. The one new person we have on board here is Corinne Wilson, a.k.a. Occult Priestess. We've got Johnny Webb and Lord Stompy as well, too. So that's great. You were able to join us here, everybody. What do you figure? We're out here on the docks. I think Stompy had actually suggested we head off to the Mossy Wench for a bit of a roundtable today here. So I think that's the direction we'll probably be headed. Corinne, why don't you introduce yourself to listeners, if you would, just a brief kind of overview of your background and how it is that you first maybe heard about the show, why you decided to finally join us today.
Ahoy, mateys. Thank you, Jaffe. I appreciate it. I am a cult priestess from occultpriestess.com, and I have a little YouTube page where I do teachings, and under the guidance of Freeman Fly of freemantv.com, I had my own podcast, The Cosmic Core, where I tried to have deeper guests, spiritual interviews, and that's still happening, even though I'm no longer with the Freeman Network. Freeman and I are friends. Thank you for having me on this evening. You can Google me under Occult Priestess and friend me on Facebook under Corinne Wilson. Thank you.
Oh, it's our pleasure, by all means. We actually were talking just briefly about this whole matter in the lead-up to things today. And everything, of course, here, just to remind people, very ad hoc and spontaneous. We had to quickly work on putting together some contingency plans. This is just the sort of thing that happens often. Maybe, Corinne, you found yourself, I'm not sure how long your show has been in place or not, but I know Johnny for sure can testify to this, that sometimes things do come up with guests, whether they're health issues or anything just out of the blue, frankly. So, Johnny, have you found this from time to time? Even people like on the Jay Leno show, I think, have been known to, well, when that was being broadcast, I suppose. So just one of the things you got to deal with.
Yeah, hi, everyone. Good evening. Corinne, nice to meet you. And Jaffa, yeah, it's interesting because, like you say, you know, the show varies from different topics, but then people that come on with a certain topic and then they're, you know, more than knowledgeable on other topics. And so in this case, I think it's going to be a good show. I'm looking forward to listening to Corinne and talking with her.
One of the things we'd also sort of had been looking at was maybe working on featuring Lord Stompy's new sampler. I guess he's come out with he and his bandmates, they put together a 5-song sort of demo CD. I previewed it last night. It was pretty damn cool. A lot of Tom Waits kind of influence was what I was hearing, basically, among other things. So definitely you talk about pirate music. Well, I think they really managed to probably couldn't ask for more, really. So, well, before we get into that, let's just explain to listeners, too, that Randy, he is someone who is an activist out of New Hampshire. He's a pro-constitutionalist, a blogger, and common law advocate, as well as self-described pro-liberty troll. So I'm not sure. I was thinking maybe last night, not having heard back from him until just prior to us going live here today, that in saying pro-liberty troll, that he was the type of person who trolls pro-liberty people. So, you know, you could look at it that way, just maybe reading between the lines or what have you. But no, I think his situation is genuine, and he really is struggling with a lot, has a great deal on his plate. And if we can manage things, we will definitely do our best to work on rescheduling and having him rebooked at some point just a little further on down the road. So, Corinne, how was it, though, once again, that we managed to actually hook up or come across each other online? Do you recall exactly?
I actually don't. I think that we have a mutual friend that is maybe an artist or just a weirdo. I think I picked up on you organically.
One of those types. Then, yeah, one of those types, yeah. Huh?
Yeah. So I don't know if we actually, you know, met, but I do know that we've been chatting for almost a year.
Yeah, back and forth on Twitter. And, you know, in fact, I think, were you not part of the blab.im platform?
I don't think so.
Yeah, because we did a couple, I don't do video as your probably aware, I'm assuming you are, but we did just kind of a joint kind of conversation there. I think the last one we had was not quite a year ago, but had a few people involved in things, and yeah, found it quite rewarding, insightful, and very well worth having taken the time out to have done that. But you got a couple things on the go there for sure, one of which is
I do have something funny to bring up, though.
Yeah, sure.
In that vein of forums and roundtables is I used to participate as a teenager in the Rocky Horror Picture Show, where you're watching a movie but you're yelling back at the screen. And I find myself doing that during these forums. I'm like, they'll bring up something esoteric, but they won't know the details. And they're like, oh my gosh, I know the details. So I would love to be a fly on the wall when I'm needed. We'll just say, oh, here's the facts, and then go back onto the wall.
Yeah, that works for sure. I mean, yeah, whatever it takes to either inject a little life into the conversation or draw certain things to people's attention, both the whoever it is that you're speaking with directly or those in the listening audience. So we're just, yeah, slowly making our way here into the Mossy Wench, and might as well make ourselves at home, pull up a seat here and see if we can have ourselves served up decent-sized grog or two. Let's not forget all the pubs here in Skullport Harbor are very pro... What was it that Tolkien talked about in his Lord of the Rings trilogy, The Hobbit and whatnot? The elfin weed or something along those lines? You know, the Hobbit weed? Well, anyways, these establishments here, a lot like Amsterdam's, I guess, you know, coffee shops, more or less, only with a bit of a pirate flair to things, so There you go. But you were in transition, I remember, the last time we spoke. You were moving from, I think it was the Midwest, out to California or something like that?
Yeah, I totally did. I made the move from Ohio/Kentucky to basically downtown Los Angeles. It was amazing. I don't even know how to describe it. It was a miracle, and it's something that I wanted to happen for a very long time, even since I was six. But, you know, a lot of us come in with missions, and we have feelings about where we should be and what we should be doing, but there's always a timing to it. So finally, the timing came, and I'm very grateful.
I recently actually caught a video of you talking. It was an interview that you did at some... I'm not too clear on the title of the event. It's a big deal, though. It's the Gathering in the Desert or some kind
of... Oh, no, that's happening, like, in a couple of weeks. That's George Norrie's bag there mm-hmm. in the desert at Joshua Tree. It was the Conscious Life Expo here at a Hilton in Los Angeles near the LAX. And it was actually the biggest and most fun event I've ever been to. And I've been to a lot of events, but they were Midwestern and very small potatoes compared to the shiny lights of California.
What is the big... Johnny, do you know that, what I'm talking about then, I guess, don't you? The Conscious Life Expo, I think, is what name that she referenced. There's another... Meeting in the Desert or Gathering in the Desert?
It's Contact in the Desert.
Ah.
And that's put on by George Norrie and the Coast to Coast AM people and Jimmy Church of Fade to Black, who I've met, who's a cool dude.
Well, yeah, as you know, like I work for Dr. J Radio Live, and Dr. J was the host a couple of years ago and introduced Art Bell back onto the scene. So, yeah, Contact in the Desert is a very big conference. The surroundings is meant to be quite good as well. I know you're out in the middle of the desert, but there's sort of some sort of paradise area that was built up and it looks quite nice there. But the tickets, I understand, are a bit pricey. So if you're not living there or staying there and you're traveling in, it can be a bit of an expensive journey, you know?
And there are rumors starting to flare up in, I guess we call it the New Age community, for lack of a better term, of these big events being soul harvesting events or places where you can get on an FBI list. So people are becoming, I guess, more paranoid, should we say? But it's a movement. Like, I see it happening. There's so many videos being made now about, do you really want to go to that conference?
Kind of like the Burning Man Festival, I guess is what they call it. I'm not sure where they hold it exactly, but there was big news made last year when, well, I mean, it was announced right out in the mainstream press that the FBI was trolling the whole, you know, just they can't help themselves, I guess, can they? So just got to do it, you know, yeah, making sure they keep a close watch on everyone. Nothing gets too out of hand, or if anything new emerges and pops up out of nowhere, that they can somehow infiltrate, as things tend to go, and steer it in the direction that they would so desire in order to achieve the outcome that they're looking for. That's kind of how it seems. Just
infiltration is what they're talking about, and they're really going to Stephen Greer a lot and bringing him up, who will be at Contact in the Desert. He does the C5 where he reaches out to the ETs psychically to get a link up. But the thing is, people do not like that he doesn't ever talk about negative abduction theory or MyLabs.
Yeah, for people that don't know, of course, too, MyLabs stands for military abductions. Is that right?
Well, MyLab is military underground bases, deep underground military bases of dumbs. But MyLab is a program that is supposedly the military and the aliens colluding together and abducting people, children being used for like MKUltra monotalk type programs where they use the soul of the child to literally come out of body, an OBE experience for the child, who then goes off into a different dimension, either collating data or fighting, literally demonic wars.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, it talks about that right in the Bible, that Ephesians, you know, whatever it is, that for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but What is it? Principalities of darkness.
Principalities of darkness, right? Like
so, yeah, I mean, I'm not a total Christian fundamentalist by any means, but I'll listen to pretty much anyone and take everything with a grain of salt. And I think the real key way of approaching things is that we separate the wheat from the chaff and ultimately, of course, just are left to decide for ourselves what we believe is true and what is just a lot of, as I guess they would say over there in jolly old England, bollocks.
Mumbo jumbo. Say actually,
mumbo jumbo. Stompy, do we have? We got you back, Stompy.
Oh, I'm definitely back. I was just having a few technical issues. Hello, everybody. I've kind of dropped in on the last half of that conversation, so I'm vaguely up to speed now.
Yeah. Okay. Well, that's great. Let's just briefly. I'm thinking there's two things we could do here. Talk a little bit more about the soul harvesting, or I think now that we do have Stompy back, it would be a great opportunity for you to cue up and maybe introduce the songs that you've got, that you've put together recently with your bandmates. I guess it's a 5-tune EP.
It's a 17 track, 70 minute album. What I did was I put out 5 songs for free to, it's a cock tease for the public, Jaffy. So they get 5 free songs to hear how awesome our album is. If they like it, they can then buy the album. The album comes with a book. What I did was I contacted 3 of my favourite spoken word artists, talked about creating basically beatnik poetry psychedelic soundscapes, these sort of dreamscapes of the psychic landscape that they talk about with their work. Every artist has a very different psychic landscape, of course. The idea was to do a book where they got to write some of their work and then put out a CD creating the dreamscape of what their work represents. So that's been 2 years in the making for me. I've ended up getting to work with some of my favourite people who I'm heavily influenced by, and being an artist, I'm a very poverty-stricken man. I live in this hovel here in Australia. So it's been a labour of love, and now I'm finally reaping the reward. And, you know, I can go on to a slightly higher level of obscurity, Jaffy.
And that's exactly the direction you want to keep things moving, I suppose, upward and onward. So we're going to cue up one of your songs here. In fact, we've got them ready to have people give them a chance to listen to fresh, just, you know, hot off the presses. Undo Me is the first cut. Is there anything that you can tell us about this before we give it a listen?
Yeah, Undo Me, I'm very lucky. It's the guy narrating it is the drummer from my band as well. So, and he's a very avid writer and spoken word artist. So I'm incredibly lucky to be working with this guy. He's one of the most uniquely talented people I know. Is a very interesting album because myself and Avalanche tend to be a little bit more light-hearted. The drummers Zebulon and Sean King tend to be very dark and heavy. So for me, the album really represented a very good balance of the dark and the light. And Zebulon, who's the drummer with Undo Me's, obviously it's a very dark love song. We recorded everything as live and as spontaneously on this album as we could to get that very raw, spontaneous feel. So usually when somebody was reading out their poem, there was one or more people were playing musical instruments along at the same time. So we avoided that artificial click track, track by track mentality and went for this messy, organic approach. So that's what you're going to hear on this song.
All right, well, from out of Adelaide, Australia, this is the Debt Collectors, the first cut from their We Have Come For Your Dream sampler, Undo Me.
Undo me, untie the ties, the binds that bind, unmake me. Reverse what time has wrought upon me, disband what thought has made out of me, reveal what God has planned out for me. Conceal the method of your hand. undo me, undo what life has written to me, unwrite what has been written of me, unbreak what has been broken in me. Repeal the laws of civil man, repeal the laws of civil man, repeal the laws of civil man. Undo me, undo me with your body bare, your talons in my back to tear the armor from my wounded heart. I beg to you, tear me apart. But do it gently. Undo me, I'm fragile, you can see right through me. I want you to want me and miss me. I want you to stay distant from me. I try to still my shaking hands. I try to still my shaking hands. I try to still my shaking voice. Undo me, undo what day has hammered on me. Untie what has been tied up in me. Unpaint what moonlight paints upon me, and see me as a common man, see me as a common man, see me as a common man. Undo me, undo the myths and stories of me, forget the past and future for me, just drink this bottle of wine with me, and let's go to the promised land. Let's go to that promised land. Let's go to the promised land.
There we go, yeah. So the debt collectors, we have come from, you could say that too, I suppose, we have come from your dreams. In this case, they're coming for your dreams, so...
Well, that's a world first there, Jaffe. Thank you very much, sir.
Our pleasure. It's, I guess that's what we had in the cards for us here today.
I'll just quickly say at this stage, if anyone's interested in checking out my music, go to kicktone.com. And look at the Lord Stompy profile on kicktone.com. Some of the stuff you can download for free, like the debt collectors, and some stuff you can give me money and help me create more musical mayhem in the world.
Yeah, I guess a little bit of monetary donations are always a bonus and a benefit. So speaking of which, we have got to talk about here just briefly, I guess you would call it something of a pet project or something that's rather close to our hearts here on the Robin Hood. Carolyn Rose Goida is still struggling to ensure that her historic plantation, Jefferson City, Missouri, is where it's based out of, that they don't bring the bulldozers in and totally knock everything that is there on that particular location, you know, raise it to the ground. So we've got to give her a bit of a shout out and encourage people, of course, to look into her case a little more closely. We did one interview we managed to put together and have that archived via our Podomatic URL page. So on top of that, she's just really, yeah, she's, it sounds like, at her wit's end, doing her best to keep her head above water, working on caring for a handful of cats. I'm not sure what other animals, but it's a tough situation that she finds herself in. So if people would maybe, once again, take a few moments to look into her situation and see what they can do, even if only just helping to get the word out. Without mainstream media coverage, there's often very little that can be done. We have sent various, you know, small, modest cash donations in the past, up to about $100, as have a few other people, so to help her cats, keep them, you know, so that they're able to survive and continue on, of course, and are kept in decent stead, I guess is one of the ways you could say, talk about things. Has anyone here, then, I don't think any of you really, have you heard about Carolyn Rose Goida and her plight?
I've heard it on a previous episode. She seemed to be getting a lot of systematic persecution for basically being involved with caring for animals and stuff.
Well, yeah, that's, you know, she's got quite a background as well, too. I'm not sure exactly, well, it was a military background. I think she might have had pretty high-level clearance as well at one point, debriefing the likes of, I think is what she said, Donald Rumsfeld, Dick Cheney. I'm not sure who else exactly, but she's definitely been around. Extremely bright lady. Unfortunately, not getting too many breaks at this particular moment. Just, you know, struggling to do what she can to have her story heard and get the word out there so that more people can learn about where it is that she presently finds herself, how she was targeted. We often hear about targeted individuals. Well, I think we could add her to the list of people who have been quite viciously attacked, and the powers that be, those that are reside and based out of the Jefferson City, Missouri area, have done everything within their ability to make her life completely miserable. She, of course, could share with us more here regarding this story. Unfortunately, she's having to contend with, well, technical problems are another matter too with her phone, I guess. She's really, they're jamming her, is what it sounds like, to the nth degree. So it's not an easy life that she finds herself currently having to lead. She's a real trooper, though, and does maintain a positive attitude, always doing her best to put a positive spin on things and work to see the silver lining in the clouds. So Joe Eminon here, just going over to the live streaming YouTube chat area, talking about how Carolyn, well, she needs cash, and that he made a video and a song remix for her. I'm not sure how many others yourselves, whether Corinne, Johnny, Stompy, whatnot, are following the chat here in the YouTube live streaming area. We always enjoy, though, interacting with the people that tune in and listen to the show. They don't necessarily want to be a part of the Skype conversation. Things can get a little crowded at times, too, of course, but Joe Eminon talking about contact in the desert and how a bunch of Oklahoma folks he knows and is associated with, rather are associated with, go to the event in New Mexico. So, great to see a faceless troll. Super that you managed to drop in. And there we go. That's about it. Everyone seems to be having a pretty decent time as we rock and roll here, making the most of what was shaping up to be a bit of a, well, it's always tough, once again, anytime you find the plug being pulled on things or the guest calling in just the last minute with a cancellation. So, but not a problem. We've managed to improvise here and put together something a little bit ad hoc. Let's just remind people that this is episode 61 of Pirate Radio Podcast. I'm your host, as always, Jaffe Ryder, and we had scheduled to have the real Randy Ross join us today. Unfortunately, because of just a multitude of issues that he's having to contend with and that have been presented to him and put on his plate. What did Nietzsche say? If it doesn't kill you, it makes you stronger. So that's something that I've long lived by. But Corinne, we haven't heard from you for a while. Is there anything perhaps that you'd like to just add to the conversation here? Things that have maybe come up over the course of our discussion that kind of triggered some thoughts within your mind?
I thought it was Kanye West that said that. What doesn't kill you makes you stronger.
he's a plagiarist. No, he's ripping off Nietzsche.
Yeah. I've been hearing that song a lot.
Oh, well, there's a song. There's a song.
It's called Stronger by Kanye.
Had no idea. So, well, one of the ideas or one of the things that we had on top of this business of working to better get the word out regarding Carolyn's present plight, hashtag save house. Funny thing that I came across here on Alex Jones's feed via Facebook the other day, he put out a little bit of some of you other folks that maybe follow Alex from time to time may have picked up on it, but he asked whether viewers thought it would be a good idea for him and Mike Cernovich to together attend White House news briefings in Washington, D.C. And immediately what came to mind for me was how you often find girls having to go to the powder room together, you know. They just, it's like they can't do it on their own for some reason. So, I mean, what's up with these guys? I'm sure they're man enough to fly solo and, you know, without having to worry about needing a wingman necessarily. So, any of you catch that one the other day? I'm not sure. Did we lose everybody or?
Well, I did not catch that.
I'm just having trouble with some echoey thing in the background that's really distracting, Jaffe.
You sound good on this end. Corinne sounds great. And Johnny, there was a little bit of electronic interference there coming through. I'm not sure if he's managed
to
resolve
that. A delayed thing of you talking about 10 seconds before. And it's...
Well, hang on. This isn't via YouTube, is it?
You mean, does he have both the Skype and the YouTube running at the same time?
Yeah, because you definitely don't want to do that. And if that's not the case, I would maybe suggest that you try to reboot, I suppose. It's one of the first things that I would do as far as troubleshooting is concerned. So Joe Eminon actually just shared a link here with us in the YouTube chat area. It's got to do with Carolyn's case. In particular, we had suggested that she drop by and basically check out the Operation Earth Angel group that we've put together. We managed to... There was some success that we found regarding Raw Rights, the case that he has presently in the situation he finds himself in, living in Poland as an expat Canadian. He has a wife, a Polish wife, and a young, I think, 3-year-old daughter. They are struggling in, sounds like by all accounts and indications, real poverty issues is what they're having to deal with there. We managed to generate a bit of a cash flow for them. From what I can gather, there's actually a few $100 came their way to help cover food bills, mostly. His daughter was actually admitted to the hospital a number of months ago, suffering from malnutrition. That's not something anyone ever wants to have to face or deal with, of course. They're working on putting together some sort of crowdfunding deal where they can actually, I guess, come up with a few $1,000, $10,000, maybe $12,000 to get their way back to Canada. It's really kind of a shame and tragic. It really speaks volumes when you look at how, in fact, Canada's immigration policy right now, they're so welcoming and inviting, very open doors, very liberal in the truest and most classic sense of the word, I suppose, to people coming in primarily, it seems, from Middle Eastern Islamic countries, Syria and beyond, but it's not a problem in forking out thousands of dollars each month to these families in the form of allowance. I think it's as much as like $4,000, something along those lines. A lot of stories, unfortunately, of people double dipping too, as it were. So in England as well, I've come across reports very similar in that respect. They manage not just to get their $4,000 or $5,000, but in committing just outright fraud, double and triple those numbers. So in the meantime, Raw Rights has apparently been blocked on Twitter by the Canadian ambassador in Poland, who's totally slammed the door shut on him, refusing to have anything further to do with him or his case, which is really sad. That, I mean, this is an expat Canadian, so who's stranded essentially in Poland. On the other hand, under the current Trudeau administration, we find literally thousands of, as was stated, these, you know, Middle Eastern, mostly Islamic refugees or what have you. Some of them, let's not forget, you know, for a reasonable, fair percentage of them, too, espouse and subscribe to pretty radical views when it comes to their religious outlook. So, to me, this makes no sense at all. It's like it's a major, you know, Trojan horse. And, you know, it gets to the point, frankly, where even, you know, our leaders and decision makers at the highest levels could quite clearly be accused of having committed the worst form of treason, you know, to the nation. So the screening process and vetting into things needs to be ratcheted up, to say the least. So I guess we're just going to kind of wing it here. Once again, we're going to stream this link here that Joe has shared with us. It's a streaming a slideshow. It's called The Mission Special Edition. He put it together here, I guess, for Carolyn. We'll give her a shot, play it here for the next few minutes, and see what we can come up with. But hopefully just let it play, and hopefully people enjoy. So we'll be back in a few minutes. Thanks for the song, Joe.
Mother, please keep me in your prayer tonight, 'cause I'm still too lost to know just who to fight. But long as I say my prayers, I seem to find my way. The rain does go away, the sun come back to stay. Mother, don't let me die without the tears you cry. This can't be paradise amongst these evil eyes. But long as I say my prayers, I'm ready all the time. 'Cause I'm just an instrument. Teach me your design. Why can't you get it right today? That's why we can't seem to begin. Mother Marie, is this what pleases you? John plays the drink, tell me what I must do. But long as I sing my songs, pray that they listen. Why can't we stop the wrong and start the mission? Teach them all today just how to pray.
Courtesy of Joseph Sappardo. Thanks for that, Joe. Much appreciated. And yeah, I'm sure Carolyn very much appreciates your efforts as well. So let's see what we got here. Stompy shooting us a message. Indeed. Yeah, we will add your link to the show notes. Absolutely. In fact, we're going to hopefully profile or feature a couple more of your tunes at least before we wrap things up here today. Around 40 minutes or so left to go here with today's episode 61. Had intended, once again, planned to have the real Randy Ross join us. Unfortunately, things fell through at the last moment, and we were left kind of scrambling a little bit, but thankfully some hardy pirate types have risen to the challenge here and stepped up to the plate, managing to come through at the last moment. So we were going to talk about actually straw manning, naval admiralty law and common law, things like that. matters of jurisdiction, I think, is what a lot of it comes down to. Myself being no expert in this area, it was why we had booked the guest, hoping to hear more from him on these various issues. Corinne, I'm not sure if this is really your specialty or not. I'm guessing probably not, but let me just throw that out there for you to field here just right off the start and maybe kind of make our way around the table.
I didn't really get what you were setting up there. So what are you talking about? What are you asking?
Oh, God.
Maybe I could tell you.
The great communicator falls flat on his face.
I think maybe Johnny can explain this one.
Yeah, a straw man is a title given to your fictitious birth certificate. When you're born, your parents register you at the registry office, and it's the equivalent of registering a new product. Basically, in legalese, or the language of law, they have words similar to English, but their meanings are far different. So we are the natural person, the God-given right to exist being, and then they have the artificial fictitious person called the legal fictitious, or the legal fictitian, which is basically given life to a piece of paper. Before any signature is given, it's a statutory piece of paper. It can't move. But once it's signed, it's given the force of life. And so what happens is with your birth certificate, when you're registered on a system basically saying you're a monster until proven titleship. So you go to register your title, be it a miss or a mister. Your parents are signing not as parents, but as informants. And basically what happens is this. You're a monster until you're given title. Once you're given title, you're issued a new product identity, which is your birth certificate. As you get older, a new certificate is given called a national insurance number. This has got a serial number that's unique to you, but it's sort of printed on Dominion notes of governments, bank notes or bond notes. And so they buy and sell and bid and barter in your name, and you're called stock. So you have common stock or preferred stock if you're a rich and yuppie. And so we're all bought and traded off. And so with that, the birth certificate seems to supersede the natural person. So that the legal law system, not the lawful law system, which we'd say is common law, law of the land, all this legal stuff is called maritime admiralty law. It comes under the law of water. So because we are 60% water, it includes us in their definition. So basically, there's a pot that's born when you're born and you're signed up with your birth certificate. There's a kitty that's made in your name because obviously you're part of the purse of the bigger, what is called the country. See, they've done away with countries. They just have corporations now. And so England or the United Kingdom PLC, or it might be United Kingdom Limited now, we are the stock, the people. And so we're called the sovereigns of the nation, the monetary in a sense. And the Queen is answerable to us, but she's not answerable to the City of London, which is the actual enforcing corporation, basically, that controls the United Kingdom. So even if you see the Houses of Parliament, which says it's very independent from, say, the City of London and the banking, it's not. When you see that guy standing next to that long scepter, he's got a long wig on. Well, that guy there, he's from the City of London. And so all businesses done with the House of Speaker and all the people and ministers have to go through the City of London. And if he's not happy about something, then it won't go out of that building. So it shows very clearly that this system is controlling us. Some people have declared it like farms rather than cities or countries or corporations. They're farms. And we have stock that live without bars, prison without any bars. So we think that we're free, but really we're not. We're limited and we're
legislative. Can you speak a little bit about the divine right of kings, please?
Well, the divine right of kings is a title, I understand, that's given for how someone can rule over someone. So the Queen's monarch system ruling over us comes from her divine right of kings, which is ordained to her through the higher being, which we call God, that are supposedly interacted directly with her and her beings that makes her reign over us. You know, that's the basic simple rule of how we have a monarch. And when you ask her how is it done, it's done in that method, you know, divine right of kings. But maybe, Stompy, would you know a bit more about that?
The divine right of kings is not my area of specialty, but what we can basically break down the straw man is what the governments of the world are doing is, without us realizing when we sign the birth certificate, basically without realizing what we're doing, we're signing a lot of our free will away. We're signing a contract that gives the government's right to exercise maritime law over us. And really, the only law that should be extended over a natural sovereign person is common law. What Johnny was saying about the dictionary, the legal dictionary, many words in English have a completely different meaning in the legal sense. That's why there is actually the Chamber's legal dictionaries. What we're seeing here is there's a dictionary with the natural English version of the word, and then the Chamber's legal dictionary. So what they've done is they've subverted our language, they've subverted our law, our common law, and they've subverted our free will. And they've basically tricked us into our parents signing the birth certificate that then turns our children into collateral. There's a certain economic value that the world banks place on every person. Now, if you live in a Western society, which is a lot more affluent, the average person in Western society has a much greater market value than somebody in Africa. In your lifetime, you'll probably help the World Banks generate maybe something like $1 billion. I have heard that figure floated around. You know, the average person, through their money exchanges, their money shuffling, what's happening is when you've got GST and various taxes and services at every level, the globalists, the world banks, every transaction you do nearly in the world, they're skimming off a percentage. So it doesn't matter what we do. Every small financial thing we do is actually enriching them more. So that's how they can put a value on us and use us as collateral. Once upon a time, nations were somewhat more sovereign, but the maritime law came in World War I, I believe, Johnny. Is that correct?
The Federal Reserve System certainly did. 1913, the Jekyll Island,
yeah.
J.P. Morgan and whatnot. Let me just quickly throw something out there, though, because we kind of skimmed over without really addressing it in a little more detail. I mean, Johnny Webb, monsters, let's not forget, was the term that he referenced just a few minutes ago, right out of Black's Law Dictionary, apparently, that, yeah, humans are referred as monsters. Like, what's up with that? Seriously, now. You know, come on. Something's a little off there, clearly.
Can I break a few things down here, spiritually speaking?
Sure.
Certainly
so
can.
The straw man, magically, sounds like a voodoo doll, doesn't it?
Yeah,
yes.
Yeah.
In many
yeah.
ways... It is, yes.
The language entrapment as well, abracadabra, and all of that.
The straw man is a fake opponent. It's a false opponent. It's a weak opponent. It's also a standard logical fallacy. So it's important people remember that, too, that when you hear about straw man arguments, it's a phony, weak, unworthy opponent. So, but Corinne, if you want to just, I'm not sure if you wanted to turn that over to Johnny or just continue along the lines of what you were talking about, but... Feel free.
Well, my deeper point is about sovereignty. And, you know, based on the divine right of kings, do you believe in that? Are you under that? Or do you wear, you know, your crown chakra, your crown of sovereignty? And there's ways of just saying prayers of, I claim myself as sovereign from my bloodline and from the collective of humanity. And it's just, you know, between you and your creator, if you will, which gets rid of any negative influence. And you know, I live under contract like anyone else in the Western world, but there's spiritual contracts that you can null and void. So that's my whole point.
Autonomy, that's a great point too, by the way. Thank you. Autonomy, I think, ties into this very much. It's a word not everyone is too clear on, but if you look at it and break it down etymologically, it simply means self-naming. And that's the last thing that the powers that be want, of course. And that it goes right into this whole, the straw man, legal fiction, that they want to be naming you, not the other way around, where we empower ourselves and take charge and say, no, we don't understand. And that's a classic, too, of course. Do you understand? No, I don't. I do not stand under what you are presenting here. No. Auto self nom is the French name, self naming. Really powerful stuff.
If you're very spiritual in outlook and got a very good connection with your creator, that's going to stand you in very strong position to be resistant to these kind of games. Here in Australia, my friend did a documentary on a hobo we have here called King Bob. He actually renounced his birth certificate, but it was very involved. He was homeless and he lived in a tent, and he was living in a park in my city for about 2 years. By renouncing his birth certificate, he was renouncing the maritime law contract, and the government kept trying to evict him from his tent in this park in the city. He had to do a lot of study, like a lot of study into all this. He was able to resist all their legal...
Mumbo jumbo. Yeah, mumbo jumbo.
Well, he was able to resist. It was all in this documentary my friend made. The council came and stuck a sign in front of his tent on a stake saying, unless you move forth within the next 48 hours, we have the power to remove you and all your possessions. And he counteracted it with some document, like he lodged a document with them saying, I'm a sovereign person, I have renounced all contracts. It was very interesting, and sadly he kept having to play all these games, but he had some very interesting stuff come out of it, you know. At one stage, they ended up running up $10,000 worth of fines against him for all these laws that he'd supposedly broken. And he went into the courtroom and began presenting this free man argument. And before he could even get 5 minutes into it, the magistrate just kicked him out of the court because the angle he was taking on the free man angle basically looked like it was going to expose their whole can of worms.
It happens all too often. You find just quite a few videos on YouTube where the exact same thing occurs.
Yeah,
how about that?
On our countries, you know, especially England and Australia, is that we're governed by consent. That's what our prime ministers will tell us. We are governed by consent. Now, if you do not consent, then their powers can't be enforced. And that's the difference, you know. They have legislative laws and statute and acts of laws, and all of these are governed by consent. So if you do not give consent, then they can't act in their power. Now, they'll tell you that, you know, not anyone can just go and say, I don't consent to this, and I can do what I want. It doesn't mean it like that. It means it in the principle, you know what I mean, that you are a free sovereign, allowed to travel unhindered, unfettered, unjudged, and unsort of like, you know, looking out to make a big fine out of you or some sort of tax out of you. And you have a right to stand up to that and say, no, I do not consent. You don't have to sign these papers. You don't have to give your name. You know, these are all legal things, but most people are lemmings, and they go about life thinking, oh, the law, I'm frightened of the law, the law's bad, I'll do, and yes sir, no sir, free facts, false sir. And we've got a bunch of people in our society that live like that. But that is not the truth. The truth is you have rights, and you have inalienable rights, and you are free. Unless you act upon them yourself, no one can do that for you. You have to do it yourself. You know, that's the simple truth of it. And they rely on most people not doing anything about it.
A big distinction, too, let's not forget, between the legal system and justice. If you look around, I've found at least, very little justice to any legal system upon this entire planet. You know, sometimes I guess there is a just outcome and things are handled in a just manner. But all too often, the legal system is, once again, this term mumbo jumbo, the legalese, and whatnot.
It
subverts justice entirely. It's a travesty.
To answer what you're saying, there's a very controversial book, been out over 100 years, and it says this. The Goyim, the non-Zionist, I suppose.
No, non-Jews. In some interpretations or translations, that would be cattle. It's a controversial term, but we'll run with it.
Because of the levels of Zion, it clearly states that certain people will win if they're the plaintiff or they're the defendant. and it's always in favor. So,
well, Freemasons, when any time you have, you're not allowed. Freemasons never lose in court, do they? Not anything shy of, well, anything less than the 32nd degree in Freemasonry, you're allowed to get away with pretty much whatever the hell it is you want, just short of murder and treason. Beyond the 33rd degree, it is said, even those two are completely off the table. If you want to murder, you want to kill, rape, plunder, and commit treason, go ahead, fly at it. And speaking of which, Stompy, let me just finish, because when is the last time anyone in the modern world has been tried for treason? Can you think of any, like any, and as if it doesn't occur on a daily basis, it's all too systemic, really, if you look around. It's just endless, nonstop treason is what I see occurring at the highest levels, frankly. Without that accountability, those checks and balances, things, they're likely not going to change anytime soon. Go ahead, Stompy.
Sorry, I just had to interject there. I read a fairly low-level Freemason initiates book. This book was from the 1880s, so that was only given out to the initiates. You know, it was about the third degree or something, but within their own organisation, when you went through those initiations in that book, within your organisation, there was offences that you're allowed to kill people for, and you could kill your own Freemason brother, and those offences were if somebody stole significant amounts of money or property from a Freemason, or if somebody had sexual relationships with your daughter or your wife and you were a Freemason, even if that person was another Freemason, that actually gave you a legal right in this 1880s book to be able to kill them. So I don't know if that's the case. Freemasons are, there's different branches and different angles. Some are evil. I think from what I've heard, many Freemason groups in the lower levels are actually quite benevolent. I definitely think that's the case. But yeah, I was quite surprised to read that in that book.
Corinne, would you like to jump in?
I didn't have anything to add at this point. Thank you.
I hope you're okay then, just listening and kind of just soaking things up, presumably.
Totally. I've heard Santos Bonacci talk on this subject of your birth certificate and things of that nature quite a bit, but I just tend to look above the game or above the chessboard, at least at the fourth dimension, so I was letting you guys just talk about the third dimension all you like.
And I'd love to know more about the fourth dimension, you know, so please carry on, you know, because it's something that's right up my alley.
Well, I use a lot of labels like archonic, you know, labels that we're familiar with, but we can just boil it down to dark consciousness and a matrix grid over the planet where anything that is legal is unjust because there's a matrix grid run by dark consciousness. But I see the point of all of that, I mean, to get down to the root cause, is that we all came here in 3D consciousness, Earth, fell to the five senses so that we could grow our soul through times of trouble and turmoil. And I think that's exactly what we're doing here, and that's why the game's so hard. I call it a game because I like to be playful, because I don't want to take anything too seriously. I'm a Buddhist. However, I've been dealing with darkness and being a targeted individual of the darkness because of my light. And I think that many people on podcasts and with podcasts are targeted for the same reasons, and that's why I feel like we're family.
Indeed.
My understanding is this, right, is that most of us are worried about the past or the future. The truth is, on a Christian level, the Lord says, to be near me, you have to be in this state of present, not worrying about the past or the future, just the here and the now, where I will come into you in a higher consciousness, talking, I suppose, to my mind, which is most probably under the influence of fear, which stops me from being me. It allows, you know, this mind to take control, the monkey, they call it, or whatever.
Monkey mind, yeah.
Exactly. And so the Buddhist term of one must kill the parents, because you must detach fully anything that will deter you from being your true inner being. We're getting stigmatized by the world, the surroundings, pressures of life and debts and whatever, you know, monetary things. And this all becomes the real rather than the experience of the self expressing through the outlook of what's being seen. But at the same time, the participation that we can't help but interact with, you know. And that's the bit that I find stressful. Even though I know that I'm a higher being, I know that I can detach. Still, when I'm back in this world, I'm instantly surrounded by it. And that's the hardest thing in my life. How do you feel about that in your understanding, Kareem?
I get the mercurial blues as well, you know, understanding that we are genies inside the bottle. And that's why I think I had the shadow man, which took me through fourth dimension throughout my childhood. But when I turned 30, thing about me is I had a Kundalini awakening and I went to the fifth dimension and beyond. So it was like I went through the portal of my third eye past my subconscious because I had worked through that stuff. So I know there's a step ladder to getting to the higher self or the soul or the divine you. As you said and pointed out, being in that moment, being very open and present and real and grounded in a moment is the quickest way to what they call zero point of the now, to be with your present, full, multidimensional self. Okay, I'm off my soapbox.
Yeah, and that's kind of the point of Zen too, right? Be here now.
Well, Ram Dass also wrote a wonderful book. You could say it's written. It's drawn mostly. It's art. And it's called Be Here Now.
Yep, that's right. And he's still actually alive from what I understand, unless I missed out on something.
But he lives in Hawaii.
He's pretty old. Gosh, he's got to be pushing like into his 80s by now, I'd imagine. So.
Well, he was a hippie psychologist until acid got a hold of him. He's such an interesting character.
Just going quickly back to what Johnny was talking about regarding the Buddhist, I'm not sure what it is exactly. I'm not too clear on that one, but it seems to me at least to resonate with what Jesus talked about in coming with a sword, because I believe later in that passage that he actually did reference family, and it's not that he's literally killing anyone, of course, but it's severing these mental, these hang-ups, I suppose, and neuroses. And once again, that leads me to think of Manjushri, who, Corinne, you may have heard of. I think, in fact, we were talking about this in our last episode, the Buddha's birthday, Jijang Bosal. Maybe that might be Vairochana in another tradition, the goddess or god of wisdom who has that sword. And he comes, or she comes, and they sever all these neurotic ties of mental confusion and so forth to bring about and elicit, give rise and birth to, and cultivate further wisdom.
Yeah, I would like to bring up Kali Ma as the destroyer of egos. And also Shiva dances on the head of ignorance. So very two powerful deities that I work with. I work with many. But they have blown the doors off of my perception. Really, when we crumble to the ego, it's called an ego death. And we go through almost like a bad acid trip through the childhood. And then if you're kind of special, you'll go through the whole of humanity's history as well as a kind of a cleanup crew. And many people who have had spontaneous Kundalini awakenings have had those experiences.
How about that? Pretty powerful stuff. We've got about 10 minutes here, folks, basically until we've got to draw things to a close. In the meantime, there are a few more talking points I was hoping we could address. In particular, let's see now. Well, once again, Real Randy Ross, unfortunately not able to make it for today's show, episode 61. Him being based out of New Hampshire, a lot of people don't pick up on this, but I can bet you dollars to donuts, as the expression goes. Not a big fan of that one, but I'll use it anyways. I can't come up with anything better at the moment. But that the hemp actually historically was hemp. And you find that in a lot of other places too, where these bastards, they changed and kind of tweaked the name a little bit because hemp's whole presence on the earth goes against their whole agenda, really, where, you know, everything has to be controlled and under their domain. So Hampshires and a lot of people don't seem to, doesn't register with a lot of folks for some reason. But that's where Randy is based out of. Another issue we were hoping to address was shadow banning and the way certain people in their social media presence or presences find themselves throttled down on various platforms, whether Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, you name it, where their reach is basically neutered or they have the feet taken out from under them, not able to basically get what it is that they want to say out there and reach as many people as they'd hoped. You know, it's really interesting, too, doing the DuckDuckGo search, because we have the slideshow on the go here, as we typically try to do with each of our weekly episodes. But in typing in the real Randy Ross, I have never seen more gay porn pictures pop up on my screen than when conducting this search, including on top of that, convicted felon mugshots. So, you know, it doesn't come up with a lot of other characters, but I found that quite interesting that the real Randy Ross, now is this just a coincidence with, you know, all these naked guys sharing each other's intimate company, shall we say? We'll leave it at that. You use your imagination for the rest of it. So that was quite odd, to say the least. One of the things, though, too, we want to talk about is how Minds.com is developing. Corinne, I don't think you're over there yet. It's something, though, a platform, really great opportunity for you, something you might want to check out. So much is being offered over on Minds.com, including encrypted chat, booster points. The hashtag system is just fabulous. It makes Facebook and Twitter's combined look quite silly. It is even better than, if you can believe that, Twitter and Facebook together, really. Is that's my take on things. The search engine is working really great, and things have really managed to evolve here quite nicely over the last year or so, as far as people working their asses off there in the background trying to get the open source codes stitched together and functioning in a way that really helps to optimize the platform as a whole. Let's not forget, too, so Minds Gaming is who we had on the show here just, was it last week or the week before? It's one of the two, but anyways, a lot of great work that he's doing there on his end of things, Mike, a.k.a. Minds Gaming. Alice W., of course, too, doing a lot of, she's really engaged and doing all she can to help bring things a little more to life. There's a link that we're going to share with you here if we can, maybe add it to the show notes, but they've done some really fabulous things as far as promoting actually Pirate Radio podcasts and WPRPN. They've even set up a page that they've put together for us. It's incredible the way that they've got everything tied in now and set up to go. So who knows where this is all going to end up as we proceed here further on down the road. Subdomain links, too, we're offering here via WPRPN $15 a year, $60 if you have a product or service, some kind of merchandise you're wanting the public to know more about. Finder's fees are up for grabs, too, so if people end up bringing others on board or having an account, they basically are able to, you know, link in to the network. They end up, you, if the recruiter or what have you, end up with a commission fee in the event of it being a personal profile. It's a whole $5, but if it's, as I said, more like a commercial merchandise, some product or service, you end up with $15. The other $15 goes to back to the network itself, with the $30 going directly to community charity. So with that being the case, it helps to support people like Carolyn Rose Goida and, you know, many others out there that are in need and very much deserving of a hand up. Well, I don't know. Any last things that any of you, I know you've got your links there, Stompy. Tell you what, we'll play one more of your songs before we take off here and call it a night. You know, Dead on the Streets, all these tunes are really great. I wish we had time to play them all. People, if they check out the link, they'll get an opportunity to do that themselves. I mean, Dead on the Streets, Jackal Dog, When Dogs Cry. You got a big thing for dogs, don't you? I've noticed that.
That's Avalanche is my uncle. So he's got a thing for dogs, and so do I. So it's Dogs to the Power of Two in our band.
Okay, well, let's see. You know, gosh, I tell you, the Dead on Dead Streets was pretty cool, but I'm going to leave it up to you, of course. This is, you know, this is your moment here to shine and be in the spotlight. So along with Corinne, of course, and Johnny here, who are helping to hold things down as we converse and essentially, I suppose, hold pirate court in the Mossy Winch. And speaking of which, well, maybe the captain will join us here after your tune streams and we're able to allow people to hear that without too many technical issues. Dead on the Streets, Jackal Dog, or When Dogs Cry? Which would you like to play here?
Let's do When Dogs Cry. That's my Uncle Avalanche. He grew up in communist Czechoslovakia in the 1950s, and he was a very big influence on me. I've been a musician since I was 20, but he really encouraged my writing in my later 30s. He's had a book published. He's a very, very well-noted spoken word artist and poet. So I owe Avalanche quite a lot there. So this one's for you, Uncle Avalanche, When Dogs Cry. And also I liked it because I produced this album. This is actually the first album I've produced. I got to make some very unusual effects and sounds, and this song really showcases what I was able to do with the production of the album. Thanks, okay. Jaffy.
Not a problem. Oh, I'd say it's our pleasure and just our way of showing you that we appreciate your being a part of things. We'll drop back in and just kind of wrap things up after the song finishes. In the meantime here, the Debt Collector is based out of Adelaide, Australia. Via their recent sampler, We Have Come For Your Dreams. This is When Dogs Cry.
Young dogs cry as old dogs die, keening and howling as the moon rises again eternally. No more bones, no more sticks. It's like that you see when young dogs cry as old dogs die. But there's always another milestone, another sniff and scratch and sprinkle, and the moon rises again eternally. Like an eyeball, collar and chain, or the enveloping clouds run free. But young dogs cry as old dogs die. Slubber and chew the next day, tail wag, ear flop in a four-legged world, and that moon rises again eternally. Laughing and snorting all the way from teeth and tongue to tail deep. Old dogs cry as old dogs die, and the moon, the moon rises again eternally. With a 5-year-old bandit.
Who did you hear? Dog?
When Dogs Cry via Adelaide, Australia's The Debt Collectors, and of course Lord Stompy, our good friend and pirate mate, I suppose you would say. He's a bold bucko here on the Robin Hood, making frequent appearances, it seems, over the past number of months. But speaking of bold buckos and various colorful personalities, I think we might have managed to get through to up on the quarter deck none other than Captain Long John Sinclair. Captain, are you there?
Hi, this is me, Captain Long John Sinclair here, Jeff. Thank you very much for having me on. We'll listen to the show here about the quarter deck. You really managed to rebound there, put things together in a nice fluid fashion. A few little technical issues, I'm sure it's not that bad. You can't clean up via post-production, but... had a great job there, everyone, Corinne, and Stompy, Johnny Webb out of the UK, there, Costa. Dropping in, dropping lots of wonderful commentary, so... thanks for being a part of things, all your great stories and contributions. Hope you're able to make it back again sometime.
Thanks, Captain.
Yeah, you're here. Bravo. Jolly good. I think that boy's been into the rum, Jaffy.
Yeah, he's got his own kind of thing going on up there. I'm not sure. He keeps a low profile for the most, but sometimes you find him coming out of the woodwork and... you never know what to expect from the captain, that's for damn sure. So, any final talking points or notes or things that you think we missed out on? Or, I'm sure everyone here has a website or two. Why don't we start with Corinne, and we can kind of make our way around the table here. Corinne, you've got a great YouTube channel. Is your podcast is still up on the go, is it?
Yes, I still am doing episodes of the Cosmic Core, but I don't have a schedule for it. It's when I know someone interesting is interested in getting on the show. I think my next guest is going to be Llewellyn author Raven Digitalis, who happens to be Gothic and Hindu. He's a very interesting spiritual mix. So you can find me at occultpriestess.com. And you can Google Occult Priestess. And thanks for having me on the show, guys. It was really enjoyable. Have a good evening.
Well, yeah, we've got a Rogues Gallery actually coming up here, too. I'm not sure if you're aware of that or not, but we put together a little after-show premium content for our Patreon supporters. So you might, if you have the time or interest, be able to stick around for that. We'll just play it by ear. Not a problem if you've got to make your way on out the door and attend to other things. Stompy, how about yourself now?
Aye, aye, sir. At this stage, I've just got my website disappeared. It'll be back. It was lordstompy.com. But you can get me on Facebook, and you can also get me Lord Stompy on Minds.com. I would recommend any listeners out there to get onto Minds.com. Facebook is the past, and, of course, you're feeding governments and the globalists mining your data and tracking you around the place, whereas Minds.com is the platform for free speech and meeting really, really interesting, well-informed people. This has been my experience of being on Minds for just a few months. I've met people like yourself, Johnny, all sorts of people. We're all connecting on Minds.com these days because the internet is the high seas of information, and you want to be able to freely travel the high seas without interference from other parties.
You've still got lordstompy.kicktone.com. Little plug out there for you.
That's my music, kicktone.com. There'll be a profile of Lord Stompy, and you can either download some free music or purchase some music there. So do it. I'll be able to eat some lunch tomorrow if somebody purchases an album.
You're often out on the streets of Adelaide doing street busking, I guess, a few hours a day, trying to hustle and rustle up that extra bit of coin and, you know, booty, pieces of eight, what have you.
Yeah.
Planning on heading out there and putting on a bit of a live show here after we wrap things up today?
Oh, yeah. I've got to get out there pretty quick. I've got my new album out. It comes with a book, so I have to go out into the public and pimp it, strut my stuff, wave it in people's faces and convince them that this is indeed what they want to have in their life, if only they part with some shekels and help me make some more art for another day.
What happened just quickly with your website then? I'm not sure if you want to go into detail, if it's like top
secret.
It's no big deal.
It's no big deal. Somebody else set it up for me, and it was up for 2 years. It was a bit clunky. It wasn't doing what I wanted. When it came time to renew it, my credit card had expired, and I didn't know quite how to... it was weird. I couldn't access the thing and change my credit card details. I've temporarily let it go so I can get a better one anyway. So, man, that's what happens when you're poor. I approached someone to build me a really good website, and they said, oh, yeah, well, give us $5,000. And I was like, wow, you know, it's taken me like a year and a half to save up $4,500 just to put out 1,000 copies of a book and an album, you know, Jaffy. So, you know, you got to pay that. In the end, I paid someone $500 to do my website, and I basically did get the $500 website I paid for.
Well, you don't have to worry about that when it comes to being a part of and affiliated via our network, WPRPN. You've got a complimentary URL and subdomain link just waiting for you there. All you need to do is provide a little bit of content and find your way around through WordPress. That's all it is, really, and you're welcome to add as much many links or blogs or what have you as you like over there.
Sure thing. I'll get back to you later on that one. In the meantime, I'd like to thank Corinne and Johnny for providing some very left-of-field discussions today. Our speaker pulled out, so we kind of had to pull everything out of a hat, and continually surprises me that we're able to pull a variety of people who are able to approach a very diverse array of subjects and just be able to keep the quality and the information at a very high standard.
Reasonably high, it would seem. Absolutely. And some real magic in the cards here today is what things would seem. And that's always a real bonus and great to see manifest. So, Johnny, web, links, contact information, that sort of thing. How are things going with you these days over on Dr. J Radio Live?
Thanks, Stompy, for that. Appreciate that. And, yeah, you know, good minds come together to bring out just something that we feel inside and just express it in the way we understand it. I don't claim to know a full understanding of all these topics, but a small gist of what I understand that resonates with me is what I can sort of revert back, I hope. But it's great topics, and thanks, Corinne, for coming on and sharing your stuff. I'd like you to stay on if you could and do an after show, because I think you're going to be fascinating to listen to. I don't know you, because I'm sure you're most sought after. But I would like to talk to you and have another discussion with you at some point, so even if you just take the detail. For myself, yeah, I'm still waiting for Dr. J to recover. He's obviously sort of in between doing an Uber-driving job and trying to work a radio show and get a radio show up and running with guests and stuff. But I know he's trying very hard. So he did tell me it won't be too long. But in the meantime, yeah, I'm grateful to come on shows like Jaffy's and others and put my two pennies worth in. I'm, you know, more challenging people to talk and understand and get to know what they have to say and to get a higher knowledge of understanding. I think I am on a spiritual quest. I do believe in religious things, but I also know that there's limitations to certain rulings in those fields, and you have to go with your own gut. And so I talk to many diverse people and understandings and try and take the best information I can, and if I can, try to make some understanding of that and possibly share that back with people. But back to you, Jeffy.
Yes, indeed. And on that note, it is about that time of the week once again where we step away from the mic and call an end to the feature segment, take a few minutes break time, and return in the behind the scenes after show Rogues Gallery. We'll hopefully talk to everyone shortly. In the meantime, good night.
God bless.
Ciao for now.
Well, we've looked over our navigation panel instruments, checking all the knobs, dials, switches, and levers. By every account and indication tells us it is indeed time, once again, to drop anchor inside the bay and draw an end to yet another week of Pirate Radio podcasts. Don't forget, if you're looking for a little more free-flowing action, we've likely got another great Rogues Gallery after show coming up next in Skype. Also, if you've in any way enjoyed or found yourself benefiting from the shows we've tirelessly produced over the past 16 or so odd months, you might want to drop by our new Patreon tip jar page and lend a little support. We've picked up a couple official patrons in the past few weeks and would really love to keep those numbers growing. For the same price as a large flagon of cheap pirate grog, you can help keep the Robin Hood sailing smoothly along each month. All it takes is a buck a week for anyone to unlock our regular behind-the-scenes premium Rogues Gallery content. Coming up next week, same time as always, we're hoping to see paranormal investigator Deborah Rosso drop by. Making an historic end-of-the-month appearance, martial arts master, super soldier, and illusionist James Heidrick is set to round off our jam-packed May schedule on the night of the 26th. If you yourself have an intriguing idea for a guest or story, you can either drop us a line directly over on WPRPN.com or fire us a quick email via PirateOneRadio@gmail.com. WPRPN.com network subdomain links are also now available. Great for artists, musicians, podcasters, bloggers, or pretty much just anyone looking to boost their online visibility and reach. Basic accounts can be launched for only $15 a year. Staking your claim now helps not only strengthen you and the network, we're also looking out for the little guy. That's right, folks. Half of all WPRPN's profits are redirected right back into the hands of the people who really need it most. Community charity. After all, we are the Robin Hood. You can further embark on your own personal pirate journey by liking, subscribing, commenting on, sharing, and following any of our main social media channels via Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, Google Plus, or Minds.com. So don't forget to become engaged. Until we meet again out on the high digital seas, I'm your host as always, the ship's chief communications officer, Jaffe Ryder. Tally-ho!